Welcome to today's edition of Feet to the Fire, where we're always challenging the status quo. For more cutting-edge commentary, go to feettothefire.org. That is feet, the number two, thefire.org. And now your host.
It's Feet to the Fire, ladies and gentlemen. More on the GOP convention, which has obviously been fantastic. But before we do that, I mentioned yesterday that I saw a great NRA ad about women arming themselves and protecting themselves in self-defense. And the great line from there was when the speaker said, "We have the right to choose our life over yours regarding rapists and criminals." In searching for that, though, I found the text to another fantastic NRA ad that I've got to read to you. It is perfect. This is an article at Breitbart called "NRA Ad, Young, Black, Female, and Armed. I'm Freedom's Safest Place." The woman, the narrator, her name in this ad is Antonia Okafor. I'm not sure if she's a famous woman or just a young black woman, but here's the text. She says this in the ad: "I've been told that black women aren't supposed to support the Second Amendment. I've been told that I shouldn't want to be able to protect myself. I shouldn't teach my fellow students about their rights, and I shouldn't speak my mind. Thank God I didn't listen. To all those who have called me a sellout, an Uncle Tom, or a pawn for someone else, here's what should scare you. I never changed my beliefs. I woke up and realized that you don't represent them. You don't speak for me, and you don't think for me. I am not the victim you need me to be, and I'm talking to more women like me every single day. I'm the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place." Outstanding. That is so good. There is intellectual integrity there. There is a personal wisdom and justification of a strong conservative position that this woman's not afraid to say, and she's not willing to play the victim card. That's my favorite part of the commercial, when she says, "I'm not the victim you need me to be." And this young black woman is strong and should be proud of her position, because she's denying the Democrats what they want all of these voting cohorts to be, and that is victims. And she readily admits it. "Democrats, you need me to be that to support your liberal policy, and I'm unwilling to do it because I'm standing for conservative principle." So good. I know it's not directly related to the GOP convention, but worth mentioning. Let's go on to night two, which was Tuesday night. I didn't get a chance to talk about it, but Paul Ryan was up and did a great job. Obviously, I want to mention his last couple lines here. And again, as I said, bear with me as I'm clicking around, because I'm jumping between all these different quotes here. Couple great lines. He said this: "Watch the Democratic Party convention next week. That four-day infomercial of politically correct moralizing." Fantastic line. He goes on: "It'll be a reminder of all that is at stake in this election. You can get through 4 days with a little help from the mute button, but four more years of it, not a chance, not a chance." And he's absolutely right. That's all you get from the Democrats is politically correct moralizing. What a great phrase. They are supposing this moral high ground because they won't offend all of the grievance classes, and that's all we're going to hear. The same demagoguery. And Paul Ryan says, "We don't want any more of it." He also made this point, which I thought was great. He said this, quote, "And last point, let the other party go on and on with its constant dividing up of people, always playing one group against the other as if identity were everything. In America, aren't we all supposed to be beyond class?" And then he recites from the Declaration of Independence to motivate everyone behind the united American identity. And he's absolutely right. Just wait for the Democrat Party. They're going to traipse up there to the podium and parade in front of all of us, one grievance class after another, because their whole platform is built on consolidating votes from different angry, bitter groups. It's anti-American. And Ryan's right. The whole point of being American is we don't have classes and different identities and group divisions. We are all equal, according to the law, all equal in our founding documents. All men are created equal. That's the whole concept of being American. Democrats tear that down and chafe at that and fight against that constantly, because by dividing and conquering the population is how they gain and hold power. Okay, let's keep going. Chris Christie was awesome from New Jersey. Shout out for him. He came up as a former federal prosecutor and said, let's prosecute a case against Hillary Clinton, since the FBI wouldn't, since the federal government hasn't, since she's not yet incarcerated and ought to be because she's a felon. Let's prosecute our own case. And he kept reciting, is she guilty or not guilty? And obviously the convention was yelling, and hopefully people at home watching were yelling guilty. But he brought up a litany of Hillary Clinton's disqualifying problems, disqualifying past mistakes. Let's just look at the list. He said it was great. Libya and how ISIS has taken control, and she supported the overthrow of Gaddafi, and now ISIS has taken over. And also, obviously, in Libya, we had the Benghazi issue, the death of four Americans, which is laid at the feet of Hillary Clinton. We've already talked about that. Nigeria. Remember all those young schoolgirls that were abducted? Well, she supported not putting that terrorist group, which is an Al-Qaeda affiliate, on a terror watch list. And then they ended up abducting all those girls, which those girls have yet to be found or rescued. And the White House's response was hashtag bring back our girls. No, how about a correct foreign policy which says terror groups are named as exactly what they are, Islamic terrorist groups, and we don't hold hands with them or apologize for them or make excuses for them? But that's Hillary Clinton and the liberals, is they make excuses for Islamic terrorism and justify it all around the world. And then you see these girls getting abducted. China, she supported a bad economic deal. I'm being real brief here with Christie's words. Syria, 400,000 dead at the hands of dictator Assad, and she called Assad a reformer in Syria. Iran, she supported the nuclear arms deal, which was devastating to world stability, the nuclear arms deal that Obama pushed, she was in favor of. They're always in favor of supporting and arming our enemies. It's bizarre. Russia, she gave them a reset button and wanted to strengthen them, whereas Christie reset foreign policy, meaning she was trying to be coy and say, we have new, opened, peaceful relations with Russia. And Christie's point was, they're a world aggressor. We're not allied with them. She supported ending the Cuban embargo, and yet at the same time, Cuba is still giving asylum to a cop killer who's a terrorist who killed a New Jersey state trooper. His family is still grieving and looking for justice, and that guy is in Cuba. That terrorist is in Cuba. Actually, I think a woman receiving asylum. I'm not sure, guy or girl that's in Cuba. I missed the name. Then, obviously, the private email server that was hiding dirty foreign campaign donations, dirty money, basically, and money laundering, all to protect herself in violation of national security. So, protecting her own privacy, but exposing national security privacy. He said there's a great line. All the failure of the Obama years, this is what you'll get with Clinton. All the failure of the Obama years, but with less charms and more lies. That's great. Yeah, she's not very charming. All right, Donald Jr. came up on Tuesday and made a great statement about firearms and Second Amendment rights. He made this point that Chicago has the toughest gun laws and yet sky-high murder rate. This is Donald Trump Jr. And if I got the quote right, he said that last month 70 were murdered in Chicago. 3,400 Americans have been murdered in Chicago since the Obama administration took over, and Chicago has the highest, strictest gun laws. So what does that say about the track record of instituting more and more firearms restrictions? It doesn't help. The murder rate is sky high in Chicago. He said his dad is going to repeal and replace Obamacare. That's what we want to hear. And he won't allow the PC culture to put our loved ones' safety at stake. And that is one thing we all love about Trump, is he's not politically correct. Finally, someone with the guts to say what needs to be said. All right, the most controversial thing, and again, we run out of time so quickly. Mike Pence came up, and as the VP candidate, did a fantastic job. Here is how he started out once again with his line, publicly saying it, and I love it. That's why we're excited about Pence on the ticket. I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative, and a Republican in that order. That is fantastic that he's making that statement. Couple other comments from Pence said this: Hillary Clinton essentially offers a third Obama term. Great way to say it, and the role is perfect for her. He goes on, Hillary Clinton championed Obamacare because years before she practically invented it. And I'm inserting this. We know Obamacare was like pretty much the worst legislation we've ever seen in American history. One of the worst pieces of legislation in modern times, emphatically. But she practically invented it. That's right. Pence goes on. And like the president, she thinks the path to governing is more taxes, more regulation, and more spending. Great conservative principles being uttered by Mike Pence. He also had this funny line to say. He said about Trump, you know, he's a man known for a larger personality, a colorful style, and lots of charisma. And so I guess he was just looking for some balance on the ticket, which is a great line. And puts himself in a humble position. But Mike Pence went out and did what he had to do, which was support Donald Trump. But it came after the booing and deafening silence from Ted Cruz on an endorsement for Trump. And all I want to say is I'm not joining the chorus of people slamming Ted Cruz. And I can talk about more about it in the future if need be, but here's the thing. Ted Cruz, you gotta understand, this is why I loved him, and this is what people missed about Ted. His whole principle was uncompromising conservatism. That's why Ted Cruz is appealing over and above the rest, and always has been, because he has built his whole political platform and campaign on uncompromising conservatism. So Ted Cruz went out and he expressed congratulations to Donald Trump, but the thing that's getting all this media attention is he said to everyone, vote your conscience in November, and didn't outright endorse Donald Trump. Well, we know that in 76, Reagan came close, but did not outright endorse Gerald Ford in that very heated campaign when Reagan was running against a sitting incumbent. We also know that Rubio didn't outright endorse Donald Trump this week, didn't even show up at the convention for a speech. We know everybody is yelling that these guys took vows to support and endorse the candidate, but the fact is Trump renounced that back in Milwaukee and during the campaign said he doesn't need to endorse the nominee if it's not him. Cruz backed up a little bit on the commitment or pledge to endorse Trump if it's him. They all kind of waffled on it, even Kasich. And here's the thing, can you go back on a pledge? Well, the fact of the matter is, Trump spent the whole campaign calling him Lying Ted. Trump is not ideologically conservative. Trump has trashed in many ways conservative. And let me be clear, feet to the fire, we're behind Trump, and our policy is here that we are endorsing him for the presidency. My point is, it's perfectly legitimate for conservatives like Cruz to say, I can't get behind it now or yet, maybe, but not yet. And this isn't about supporting one guy over another. I'm not a Cruz lover. I'm saying ideological conservatism can be maintained as sacred, and for a man to stand up and say, not yet, I'm not giving a full endorsement, it's perfectly within his conservative prerogative, and that's what makes Cruz great, because he never compromises. So take that as you will. I don't know that you're going to get that kind of commentary from every conservative, but I am never going to stand against a conservative who is standing on principle. We need more of that. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. The GOP convention is going great. The DNC convention next week is going to be a train wreck. And Ted Cruz is still a pillar and a strong voice, a great and brave voice for conservatism. So is Mike Pence. So are all these guys. That's why, for me, I'm getting behind the entire campaign, and we got to win in November. And as for the Democrats, we're going to hold their feet to the fire.